Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Perhaps you've experienced any kind of invitation, and it can be a fun thing, an exciting thing to receive an invitation. Perhaps a celebration of some kind, anniversary or birthday. Perhaps an invitation to join a group or some method of getting together. An invitation from a friend to go to the movies, right? Invitations are great to experience the sense of inclusion. And invitations can come in a number of ways. Sometimes they come, printed on nice paper in an envelope. Sometimes they come digitally in our email. Sometimes they come, very often they'll come word of mouth. Thank you. It's a good thing you're sitting in the front row. All right. There's all kinds of different ways that our invitations can show up. And sometimes our invitations show up in ways that we don't really recognize them as invitations. And sometimes they're invitations to things that we don't often think of in exciting ways. Sometimes there's some mix of this, that, and the other thing. I want to tell you about a couple of invitations that Beth and I received at two different times, one about 6 years ago and one about 11 years ago. The invitation to our children's birth. And we didn't really think about it as an invitation. We thought of it as an appointment at the hospital, right? Both of our children were gigantic. They were over 9 pounds, right? And so so cesarean section is the way all that happened for the betterment of all. And so we had the appointment, and it's interesting, for Cameron, our eldest, we had the invitation, the appointment for a particular time, but then Beth went into labor, so we showed up for the party early. For Cameron, for Zachary, everything worked out on time, and so that's how that went. But I want to tell you these stories a little bit, because very often, you show up for the invitation for whatever it is, and things don't go the way that you necessarily expect them to go. So here's how it went when Cameron was born. We got to the hospital because she was in labor, and they hooked her up to the magic machine, by the way, that I loved, that was the machine that said when a contraction starts. Honey, you're going to have a contraction. No, I'm not. Oh, yes, I am. That was fun. And so then they took her off into the operating room for the C-section, and they dressed me up in the hat and the thing on backwards and the things on my shoes. And I had to tell the nurse ahead of time, because I know this about myself. I said, I'm a petite flower. If I see any horribleness, then there's going to be a puddle of me on the floor, and you're going to have to clean it up, and you don't want that. Okay, we understand. So I go into the OR, and they have a chair, and it's labeled on the back. It's the daddy chair. This is where I get to sit. All right. Right next to that chair, they have a clear bucket. On top of that clear bucket is a clear hose that ever so gracefully just curves down just so it almost touches the chair before it goes behind the magic blue curtain that hides all the awfulness that I don't want to see. I can see Beth's face, and that's it. So when I sit in the daddy chair, that clear tube just rests ever so lightly on my knees. In the corner of the wall, right between, the wall and the ceiling, is a mirror in case I want to see behind the magic blue curtain. That is not where I want to see. When I was a kid, I'd watch reruns of MASH, and they would say suction. And that's what happened with this clear tube that would vibrate on my knees and then begin to fill the bucket next to me, the clear bucket next to me. So they saw me turn shades of polka dots, and they covered up the bucket, and I was able to look at Beth until I heard Cameron for the first time. And then, I was good. Because it was not only an invitation to a birth, it was an invitation to parenthood. It was one of the most precious invitations that not everyone is privileged enough to receive. By the way, I was so good that I was able to cut his umbilical cord. No problem. Good. Thank you. Applause from the nurse in the front row. Well done. Who's been laughing during the earlier parts. Yes, I know that you've been laughing at me. That's okay. I laugh at me too. When Zachary was born, we got the invitation. We were on time for that one instead of early. But that one went differently. Because we had a doctor who was unhappy with some of Beth's complicated medical history. I think that's fair to say. So I wasn't allowed in the room because anesthesiology had to be different. And so Beth was not conscious when Zach was born. I was not in the room when Zach was born. And that was really hard. I was very busy pacing the room outside. And so once again, it was an invitation into something that turned out differently than how we expected it to be. And I want you to think about times that you've been invited to anything, whether it is the presence of new life or an invitation into any other kind of thing. And is it always exactly what you expect it to be? And frankly, I hope that it's not always exactly what you expect it to be. I hope that it's more. I hope that it's greater. And that's part of what I encourage us to think about today is that very often when we're invited into something, whether it's an event or a relationship or some other kind of great occurrence, I hope that we can go into it with our eyes and our hearts open to see that it can be more than what we expect it to be. I certainly think that our invitation into a life of faith offers more than we often expect it to be. But I also want you to remember that you're invited. That we're all invited into this journey, this relationship of faith. And I want to continue the scripture that we've been reading over the course of these last weeks in the Gospel of John, the 6th chapter, as we look at how Jesus talks about this sense of invitation. If you remember 2 weeks ago, we began the 6th chapter with Jesus feeding 5,000 people in what seemed like a miraculous way. And then the disciples, as they got into a boat and crossed a lake, Jesus appeared walking on the water again in a miraculous way. And then last week, the crowd who had been fed tracked him down over in Capernaum and followed them and had this conversation with Jesus where he said, I am the bread of life. And they began to come out of this sense of spiritual narcissism into a broader understanding of who it is that they might be able to be and who it is this Jesus was. Now, we continue as we read this scripture to read what may be a crowd, and there's a little bit of a distinction between the crowds who have been speaking with Jesus and this crowd now. And so I want to get into this scripture. It begins with the 35th verse, which is a repeat. We actually read this particular verse last week. Then we'll skip ahead to verse 41, and I'll let you know what it is that we're skipping. But beginning with verse 35, Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. The Jewish opposition grumbled about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Now again, there's seems to be a distinction between the crowds that he had been speaking with and this group who is speaking with them now. This particular translation I'm reading from the Common English Bible talks about it as the Jewish opposition. Other translations simply note this as a crowd, but based on the way they respond to Jesus, we see that it's a different crowd. It's not necessarily this crowd of folks who have been experiencing these miraculous things, who've been following him around for a time, but this is a group of people who know him. And so they grumble. They grumble about him because he says, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They asked, isn't this Jesus, Joseph's son, whose mother and father we know? How can he now say, I've come down from heaven? Can you imagine them grumbling? I mean, clearly it seems like they've known his family for quite a while. Maybe they knew Jesus when he only walked on puddles. Probably not. Just a little joke. In case you weren't clear, that's a little joke. Good. But they've clearly had some experience with who he is, with his family. This, by the way, is one of the stories that I think is the reason why United Methodist pastors are never appointed in the church where they grew up. Because people would look at you in a different way. Right? Can you imagine maybe someone who has grown up in this church and then taking on the leadership role that that has the authority of the pastor? Would you look at that person in the same way as somebody who gets to come in clean like I did? You all were very gracious about that. There are some differences. Can you take that kind of visionary leadership from the kid who used to untie your shoes when you weren't looking? I never did that, but I thought about it. So they're grumbling because they've seen this person. They've known his family. Well, Jesus responds to him. He says, don't grumble amongst yourselves. No one can come to me unless they are drawn to me by the Father who sent me, and I will raise them up at the last day. Do you see how, as he uses that word drawn, he is talking about invitation? You're not going to know who I am unless you're invited. And if you know who I am, you have been invited. He continues, it's written in the prophets, and they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has listened to the Father and learned from him comes to me. I told you that there were a few verses that we skipped. And basically they have to do with no one being left out. And it seems to connect a little bit with that story we read a couple of weeks ago where Jesus feeds 5,000 people, but then he tells the disciples, go out and collect all the crumbs so that nothing is lost. You see, when we are broken, when we divide ourselves from the body of Christ, when we stumble and fall away, we are continually and consistently invited back into the community of God. And who is it that offers this invitation? According to these verses, it's a divine invitation. It is God who invites us. And for this reason, it is an invitation that cannot be limited. We can get in the way from time to time. And it's an invitation that moves beyond us and around us and through us and into us and over us and under us, in spite of us. And sometimes with us and through us and because of us. It is a divine invitation to the love of Christ, the body of Christ that transforms the world. And it is an invitation to everybody. And Jesus continues, no one has seen the Father except the one who is from God, he has seen the Father. I assure you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness and they died. I want to talk about that phrase for just a second. We talked a week ago about the continuing parallel in this story to the story of Moses and the Israelites in the wilderness, about how manna would sort of magically or miraculously show up on the ground in the morning. And if you remember, they were told, don't try to collect it and sort of hoard it up for yourselves because it's just going to go bad and it's going to start to smell. Take what you need and have faith that there will be more. But even so, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. There was a generation of folks who never made it to the promised land. And yet Jesus continues to say that the invitation is for everyone, and those crumbs that fall away will be gathered again. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that whoever eats of it will never die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. You see, as Jesus continues to draw us toward the cross, as Jesus continues to tell the people who surround him what is coming, it is a challenging call. It is a challenging invitation. And I submit to you that the invitation we receive, the invitation that is from the divine that I believe is timeless, continues to be a sacrificial invitation that leads us into deeper community. You see, my overall theology of God and how God interacts with us is a theology of call, is a theology of invitation. God invited the universe into being by saying, "Let there be light." The power of God's voice setting the motion of creation into being. And that same voice that continues to invite us all, continues to call us all, to draw us into the deepness of community, to draw us into the deepness of this journey of relationship, of faith. This is my understanding of how powerful and profound and prophetic this invitation is. And yet this idea that Jesus closes with before moving into the next section, this idea that the bread of life is the flesh of the Christ, is one that challenges the hearers of the time and may challenge us as well. We're going to tackle that challenge next week, so I hope that you'll be here to struggle and wrestle with some of that. But what I want you to be left with in this particular moment is the invitation into relationship with God is not necessarily an easy road. This is not necessarily a journey that's going to be all flowers and roses. We got to work at it. This is an invitation that challenges us, just like sort of working out a muscle. How if you're one who is able-bodied to go to a gym or do any other kind of physical work that makes your muscles ache, if you're someone who goes through thought experiments and makes your brain ache, if you're someone who does whatever it is that makes you grow, very often we find that growth comes with challenge and work, and it makes you have to get beyond where you are so that you become someone and something new. And indeed, I believe that God continues to make us new. Like the psalm, "Behold, I will make all things new." God continues to call us into divine relationship. Not into an easy journey, but a journey that will challenge us, a journey that will transform us, a journey that will make us people of light and love, sometimes in spite of ourselves, and a journey that continues to call us to invite others. And so as we conclude this day, I ask you to consider the invitation, the specific and unique invitation that is yours. The specific and unique invitation that comes to you from the divine. How you hear it, how you feel it, how you experience it. Perhaps in some way that you can't even put words to. And consider how you will respond. Let's pray. Holy and loving God, we are ever so grateful for the opportunity to hear your voice, to be your people, to join in your community. So open our ears and our hearts and our minds to hear you, to receive your invitation, to know the still small voice, the strange warming of our hearts. That we, through this invitation, might come to know Jesus, our Christ and Redeemer, even more fully. That we might hear your invitation even more fully, that we might feel the power of your Holy Spirit strengthening and empowering us ever more fully. So that we might have the strength to do that which you call. So that we might understand our place in your creation and the grace and love that is already ours. God, we lift all these things to you and any that have been left unsaid as we join together in the prayer taught to us by your Son, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.